Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Welcome to V2. My name is Jonathan Laurie. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and I am excited to get to share with you out of Scripture tonight, kind of our official kickoff message as we get into the life of David. I chose the passage of Scripture, Psalm 119, if you would like to turn there in your Bibles. It is the longest chapter in the Bible, so I am in verses 9 through 11, but I'm so stoked to be starting back with Valor and with the whole V2 program with all of our groups here. I'm stoked that I've been able to say that I have been a part of Valor since it started here at the Orange County campus back in 2009, back at Free Chapel. Is there anybody here that was at that first session? Would you raise your hand up? Awesome. There's a couple of you. Awesome. Pastor Mike was for sure. Awesome. That's a bunch of you. That's great. That's very cool to see that you guys have stuck around 7 years strong. It's hard to believe that amount of time has gone by, but the V2 groups have really helped me in my walk with the Lord. They've done a lot of great things for the people around me as well, the groups that I've been privileged to be a part of. I'm looking forward to seeing many of you grow in your knowledge of the Lord, your knowledge in Scripture, and also grow in your friendships with those people in your groups and the people here at this study, as well as your love for each other. One new component we are adding this year, as many of you know, is the couples groups here on Tuesday nights, and we're stoked to have you all here. It's something that we've been having in the works for some time now, is having the couples come and be a part, and obviously this was something that you all wanted to be a part of because you have shown up in droves, and so we're stoked to have everybody here. Another thing that we're doing that's very cool, that's partnering with V2, is the student groups, the student ministries, junior high and high school, which Pastor Adam Eaton oversees, is going to be going through the same passages of Scripture that we go through here on Tuesday nights. And so if you have a student in junior high or high school, that means when they go through their small group time on Thursday night and hear the message on Thursday night when those ministries meet, that they will actually be able to have a conversation with you about what they learned. And if they can't, then you can tell them what you learned and refresh their memory. You know, the reason that we're doing this is because we want to encourage you guys just to, you and your spouses and your children now will all be able to talk about what you were going through, what you were reading, as we have the exact same homework. Those kids are even going to have a homework lesson. It's not going to be as extensive as the one we give you here tonight in your small groups. It's going to be one page for the students, but I'm just stoked to be able to have everybody kind of on the same page here. And actually, when I speak, I'm actually going to get to speak to the high school ministry as well. And so when Pastor Adam speaks, he'll also get to speak to the high school and junior high students. But what's cool is they'll be hearing the exact same messages you guys do here on Tuesdays on Thursday. So that way you know exactly what they heard and you can quiz them on it. So that's very exciting to see all of that. Well, tonight we're going to be handing out the lessons, like I said, for this week to be worked on. And then next week we'll hear a sermon touching some of the significant points of that chapter, which will be 1 Samuel chapter 1. Then you go to your groups, you discuss your homework, and what you got out of it. Well, the text I chose for tonight is Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11, and why don't we pray before we jump in? Lord, we do praise your name above every other, Jesus. We thank you that you redeemed us from hell. You've saved us if we put our faith in you. All we have to do is receive that gift, and we praise you for that. So we pray now that as we look at this book that is over 3,000 years old, that truths would pop out today, that we would be able to pull things from it and take them to heart. We ask that you would speak through me and that you would be a part of this Bible study here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the text I chose is Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11. This book is 3,000 years old and even older, actually. And if you're new to church, you might be wondering, what is psalms? What is psalms? Well, psalm actually just literally means song. It just means song. And these were the 150 greatest hits of ancient Israel. If you open up your Bible to the very middle of it, chances are you're going to end up right in the book of Psalms, and let's read it now together. Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. All right. So in verse 9, the psalmist, he starts off with a question. By the way, Psalm 119 is strongly believed by scholars to be written by King David, which is why it's relevant tonight as we're studying his life. But I chose Psalm 119 to go through tonight because shortly after I became a Christian, I found the scripture and it really spoke directly to me. I was 22 years old, and those were the instructions I really needed to hear. There are 150 psalms, and there are at least 8 different authors, and we know for sure that David wrote at least 75 of them, possibly more. So David, he was a hit songwriter. He was a hit songwriter. People were singing his songs in the streets, and I guess that would kind of make him the Justin Bieber of his day. Well, hit song-wise, at least. Definitely in no other way are they alike. Well, actually, now that I think of it, maybe a couple, huh? But David asks, how can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man live a clean life? Let's broaden that. How can someone live a clean life? Young, old, male, female. How can they live a life clean before God? This is a question I wish I had the answer to a long time ago. Actually, this is a question that I wish I was asking a long time ago. You know, today it's easier than ever to fall into impurity. It used to be something you had to go out of your way to look for. You had to go out of your way to find an affair. You had to go out of your way to the store in the seedy part of town. You had to know where to go and what to look for to fall into impurity. Today, it's readily available. I read this statistic that affairs are not only celebrated and encouraged today, but that the divorce rate in Orange County is one of the highest in the nation. I've read that the number is as high as 72% of all marriages in Orange County end in divorce. Now, I'm not totally sure how they came up with that number or if it's accurate, but the principle is the same. Our culture caters to those who wish to dissolve their families. So among this in our culture, Christians, how are we to live a clean life? How can someone live a clean life, a pure life before God? David answers his own question with the second part of this verse in verse 9, by taking heed according to your word. Now, taking heed is going one step further than hearing or even knowing the word of God or even believing the word of God. There is an action implied. It means to listen with the intention of following. It's like when you ladies may ask someone for directions on behalf of your husband because they don't want to. You listen intently to the instructions because you plan on following them to your destination. It seems today that there's a growing sense of entitlement and a lack of responsibility today. People want the end results of a hard-working life, but without the work and without the calluses. They want to win the lottery or come up with some invention that makes them strike it rich. Well, that's not how it works. There's a responsibility on our end to put that work in. We have to put in the effort. We have to put in the creativity in to get to the place we want to with our careers. Whether it's getting better at a sport or a trade, it takes work. And that's what David says here. We have to do our part in addition to God doing his, taking heed according to God's word. There was a poll done 2 years ago, and they asked people in America if they are Christians. 71% of the people identified as being Christians. I think even if you were living under a rock, you would know that that statistic is not true. The reason for this is because I think people believe in heaven, because we're all told that in Ecclesiastes, it says that God has placed eternity in our hearts. Everybody knows that they're going to live forever. We all feel that. And I'm not talking about when you're a kid and you feel invincible. You know, as a kid, you're kind of just reckless. The way you drove, the way you ate, the way you jump headfirst into things, the way you treated your bodies. You felt like you were indestructible. But even now, as adults, we feel like we're going to live forever. Not in this body necessarily, but there's something inside of us. And that's what the author of Ecclesiastes is talking about. He's saying that God has placed eternity in our hearts. We all feel like we're going to live forever, and many people assume that because they're a good person by their own definition, whatever that means, that they will go to heaven. The fact is, we will live forever. Our souls are eternal. But the real question is not if you will live forever. The real question is where you will live forever. There's a difference between knowing the word and about the word and taking heed to it. If you want to live a clean life before God, you must take heed to his instructions. As we study here at Harvest and at the V2 study and at the Valor study and in the couples groups, we have to do more than just know scripture and believe it. Yeah, that's right. James says that faith without works is dead. Faith without action is dead. We all know people who say that they believe in God. They maybe even believe in Jesus. But we all know that the demons themselves believe and tremble. It's not enough to just believe. A true faith, a biblical faith that God requires, is a faith that will bring results. It is a faith that will yield a response. David goes on to say in verse 10, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." His heart had gone after God himself. David had not only desired to obey God's laws, he had desired to be in communion with God. Something I think we can all be guilty of is supposing that God is in the sky, kind of as a judge sitting up on his throne, and we can become legalistic in our approach to things, you know, and to our faith, basing it on how good or bad we are, whether we're doing our morning devotions or not, or praying for those people, or tithing, or giving, or offering. It would be like if you only try and have a relationship with your spouse based upon what they do and what they don't want you to do. There won't be much affection there. You know, don't have an affair. Do the dishes. Take the kids to school. Do fix the front door. Do compliment their appearance. But instead of doing these things for love, you do them out of, but instead of doing these things for love, you were doing them out of love. That's the difference. There's a big difference there. Doing them for love to achieve their affection and doing them out of love because you love them unconditionally. David was seeking after God, not just obeying his laws. The surest way to cleanse ourself is to seek after God himself. Spurgeon said, "Had he not sought the Lord, he would never have been so anxious to cleanse his way." So time out here. Don't get things backwards. This is a concept that we know and we've been taught here at Harvest. We have heard many times, don't try and clean your life up. Don't try and live a clean life before coming to God. In order to live a clean life before God, we must seek God and his will for our lives. But how do we seek after God? By taking heed according to his word. If you aren't seeking God, but you know you aren't where you should be, and you want to change, the wrong thing to do would to be try and fix this yourself. Have you ever tried to fix something at home that's outside of your expertise? I've fixed a couple things in our home, drywall, plumbing, paint, some caulking and stuff. One night, my wife were asleep in bed in the middle of the night, and our bed frame just broke and busted down on the side. It was impossible to not roll out of bed because it was so angled. It was terrible. So the next day, I decided I was going to go to the hardware store, and I bought the thickest, coarsest wood screws they had. I knew I was going to fix this thing the right way. I used my impact driver, and I stripped the heads right off of those screws and just put those things in there deep. The fact is, under our bed, it's probably the safest place in the house if there's ever an earthquake. That thing is very structurally sound. But the problem is that if we ever move, that bed's not going anywhere. You will not be able to take it apart or take it out of that room because there's no way you're going to be able to disassemble it. It's not a good idea to fix things that are out of our realm. If you're seeking after God, you will be anxious to clean your life. And if you are seeking after God, you will have the roadmap on how to live a holy life. So how do you seek after God? By taking heed according to his word. Spurgeon said this as well. His petition is founded on his life's purpose. He is seeking the Lord, and he prays the Lord to prevent his going astray in or from his search. It is by obedience that we follow after God, hence the prayer, "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." For if we leave the ways of God's appointment, we certainly shall not find the God who appointed them. So David takes action after seeking God wholeheartedly. And he follows it up by asking God to keep him from wandering from his commandments. He does a tangible action by seeking after God, but he also asks God in faith to keep him in this place of purity. That is faith in action. Going back to what James said, that faith without action is dead. We don't just want a skin deep faith. We want a faith that works. We want a faith that seeks communion with God, a faith that seeks to please God. For many of us, this will be the most in-depth Bible study we have ever been a part of. You're taking a step of faith. You're jumping into the deep end. Well, God bless you for that. That is amazing, and you are doing the right thing. You will grow in your knowledge if you come to these studies. But just like a sick patient at the doctor's office, it isn't enough to know what our prescription is. It isn't enough to pay for the prescription and even understand how the prescription works and bring it home with you. You have to take it. You have to allow it to work in you and through you. Well, the same is true with Scripture. It isn't enough to know it. It isn't enough to believe it and even retain it. We've got to follow what God says and do what will make us holy and pure. So let's commit to this together as a church, as a congregation here at V2 tonight. Let's commit to this as we go through the life of David and read about a man so various that he seemed to be not one, but all of mankind's epitome. We're going to find ourselves in multiple places in the life of David. We're going to see ourselves a reflection of mankind. So let's commit that we are going to do more than study the Bible. We are going to grow in our walks with God. We are going to allow God to minister in us and through us. Let's make this the year that isn't going to be another year where we look back and think, oh, next year I'll take my walk with God seriously. Let's do this together. Let's help each other. Let's encourage each other and pray for each other and be more than just a group of people in a class. Amen? Amen. Let's finish up with verse 11. Yeah, that's right. I said finish up. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So David is now taking a preventative measure that in order to not sin against God, he is hiding Scripture in his heart. He's talking about Scripture memorization here. God's instructions to us are alone able to preserve us from ruin. They are alone able to empower us to say no to temptation. They enable us to live a holy life in the midst of a wicked surrounding world. Only the Word of God, only the Bible can do this. Jesus told his disciples, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Jesus also prayed to the Father on their behalf, saying, "Sanctify them by truth." And he added, "Your word is truth." So David takes the best thing here, Scripture, hidden in the best place, his heart, for the best purpose, that I might not sin against you. Each week in our lessons, we have a memory verse, and I can be just as guilty of this as anybody, but I always breeze right over it. I really think it would be awesome if we commit ourselves to try and put that Scripture to memory and hide it in our hearts. Is there anything more rich and full of depth than Scripture? Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Psalm 119, verse 105, a little later in this chapter says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Jesus said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, for from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." But this is where it counts, right here. James 1:22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is more relevant today than it has ever been. And Lord, as we look at our surroundings today, it is hard to live a pure life in an impure world. Lord, help us to be a house set upon a hill. Help us to be that light in the darkness that people might recognize that we are different. We know we can only do this by the help of your Holy Spirit, by the help of Scripture, Lord, your roadmap to life. We pray that we would retain this information, Lord, but not only retain it as we go through this life of David, as we study his life, But Lord, we pray that we would follow his example in the good ways and that we would learn from his example in the ways that he failed, Lord. We thank you that you included the imperfections in Scripture. We thank you that we can learn from them. And we pray that we would be good examples to our family. We pray that you would bless us and our groups now. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome.